I think he was one of the he's a son, which I presented in the chapter 21, there is the
Reign of Vita.
And chapter 31. Gopi Gita. Then chapter 35. Yugala Gita. Right? And then tonight, in chapter 39, there is the Viraha Gita. So this is where the gopis are feeling separation from Krishna, because Krishna is about to leave. Vrindavan. Right? He's being taken by Akrura to Mathura. So we begin with verse number 19, and we'll go to verse 34. Now, this section of the Bhagavatam is one of the deepest sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is not that we have any qualification to study it or discuss it, but because we're studying systematically, we'll go through. But we must be very reverential, very respectful, and very humble and submissive, and try to understand something of the pastimes. Because the emotions of the gopis are beyond the ability of conditioned souls to understand. We cannot understand the emotions of the gopis properly, because the gopis' position is so exalted that ordinary people cannot understand. So we cannot fathom or understand, fully appreciate the mood of the gopis, but still, out of a mood of respect and a mood of a desire to understand, then we will study and we'll pray for some mercy from the gopis, that we will get some understanding of their feelings and attachment to Krishna. Okay. So tonight we'll begin from verse number 19. The gopi said, O providence, you have no mercy. You bring embodied creatures together in friendship and love, and then senselessly separate them before they fulfill their desires. This whimsical play of yours is like a child's game. So the gopis are speaking on the transcendental platform. Many people find it very difficult to understand Krishna's pastimes, because Krishna's pastimes are spiritual, they are not material. Because we are conditioned souls, the only reference point we really have is the material world. So we understand or we experience something in the material world, and we superimpose that onto Krishna's pastimes. Or we try to see Krishna's pastimes through perverted eyes or conditioned vision. So then we don't really understand what is taking place. We don't really understand the depth of the gopi's love. So it is the nature of relationships that at some point in time there will be separation. That is the nature of, and particularly of the material world, that is the nature of the material world. Every relationship we experience here, it will end. Everything will become separated from everyone in this material world. In one sense, in the spiritual world, there is no separation. In one sense. I mean, there is a type of separation in the spiritual world that is very different to the material world. But the Pralamba, part of Krishna's pastimes, where Krishna is experiencing separation, that is experienced more in the pastimes in Gokula Vrindavan, or in the material world, than in Goloka Vrindavan, or the spiritual world. So in one sense, Krishna's pastimes when he comes into the material world are more intense and more blissful than the pastimes in the spiritual world, in one sense. So, in this material world, providence will separate all of us. You can't maintain any relationships in this world. They'll either be taken away in the beginning, in the middle, or the end. But at some point in time, the relationships will sever. On the spiritual platform, the relationships do not sever. Krishna and the gopis are always able to eternally relate to each other. But in the material world, they must end. Therefore, Krishna says, the second teaching he gives in the Gita, basically, is you must tolerate. No? He says there is a difference between matter and spirit. No? The first three verses. And then he says, Matra Spashas. And he says, Tatishaswa. So he says, be tolerant. Because that is the nature of the material world. So the gopis, they're preaching, in one sense, they're preaching to us. Because until we become detached from this world, we can't fully understand the pastimes of Krishna and his eternal associates. That's why we don't fully understand them right now. Because we're studying Krishna's pastimes, but we don't fully realize them or understand them. Why? Because our heart is still full of material desires. And our heart is full of material attachments. And until you actually become detached from the material energy, you can't become attached to Krishna. So the gopis are preaching to us in one sense. They're telling all of us, everything will be taken away from you in due course of time. So give up your attachments to this material world and become attached to Krishna. Don't remain foolishly attached in this material world. So on one level, the gopis are preaching to us. On another level, which is at the actual level, they're experiencing the most intense level of separation from Krishna. It's called Mahabhava. The emotions they are experiencing are the highest levels of love. You have to meditate on this very, very deeply to understand even an atomic fragment of their love for Krishna. It is so exalted. So therefore, we have to meditate on a very deep level to understand these pastimes. Something of these pastimes. So the gopis are the most intense devotees in terms of their attachment and their feelings towards Krishna. We see that in this, you'll see in this Varaha Gita, because Krishna is leaving all of the Brijbasis simultaneously. Most of them. A number of them go with him. Nanda Maharaj goes with him. And Subal and Sridharma and the cowherd boys go. But most of the devotees stay back in Vrindavan. But none of them are experiencing the level of intensity of Vipralamba that the gopis are feeling. They're intensely becoming the most. And that is mainly based upon the mood of relationship. What is the mood of relationship called between the gopis and Krishna? Yeah, conjugal love. But what type of conjugal love? Yeah, so it's called parikya. So it's because of parikya. That's why eternally Yogamaya arranges that Krishna and the gopis remain unwedded. Right? That is why. Because in swakya, in a married relationship, you could not have the intensity of emotion. It's not possible. Therefore, to keep everything stimulated and to heighten the rasa, to take things to the highest level of bliss and satisfaction, everything is kept on the platform of parakya, which means separation. So that is the position of the gopis. So you'll see, because they're not married to Krishna, Vishnu Chakravartikal describes that when they're with him, just like when they had the Rasa Leela. So how long did Rasa Leela last for? Not a Brahma. So how long is that? Yeah. So it means went for like millions of years. But at the end of it, what did the gopis say?
It was too short.
Yeah, they said it felt like a moment. All of that time felt like a moment. So when they're with him, the whole thing feels like a moment. And when they're not with him, they say that one moment feels like millions of years. So they're actually feeling like that. So we can't understand what this is. We can't understand this kind of love. We feel separation from people in this world. Family members, devotees like that, but not like the gopis feel. Our love is like it's just like a little fragment of a drop compared to what the gopis are experiencing. So their love is far beyond even the other Brijbasis. It's so much more intense. So there's nothing more, and that's why when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, he comes to teach us specifically the love of that is there for Krishna from the platform of the Manjaris and the Gopis of Vrindavan, Gopi Bhav. So he's teaching that because it is the most intense love. We're so fortunate that we even get born at this time when Swayam Bhagavan was here 500 years ago and he's left his legacy and we can take advantage of it. And we can study it and maybe we'll get some qualification to one day taste something of these pastimes. Any questions? Okay. Yeah.
Regarding the eternal power that you mentioned, which is predominantly, which is more in this bhumi, bhulok, as compared to the spiritual body, can we understand? Because, so does that mean that the Bhagavan, these pastimes here are more glorious than what's happening in the spiritual body? Or,
you can say it like that if you want. It doesn't really matter because we're so far away from everything and it doesn't really matter. We don't even know what the material or spiritual is. Yeah. You're attached to Albert Park and we don't even understand. But sometimes the acharyas say the pastimes in the material world are more blissful, more ecstatic than the pastimes in the spiritual. Sometimes they say. But it doesn't really matter. If we can get back to either place or any place, then that is desirable.
You're saying that there are certain pastimes of Krishna, like Janmashtami and all that, that's not happening in the spiritual world. It only happens in the material world. And obviously, this, I had the same question when Prabhu had to as well. But we are basically experiencing, but you know how it says, Matas Parshan, the context, says that happiness and distress like Sukhmita and Sama. Here we see the gopis are actually totally engaged in suffering. Of the 125 years, what, 11 and a half years they were in Vrindavan, after that they didn't see Krishna at all. That how we see him.
They do see him. Yeah.
But,
not so much.
But it's more practically they're sort of in separation. It's probably.
That's not in the spiritual world. Yeah. Separation is just a few hours in the spiritual world. But sometimes here it's a few months or years or something. But much, much more intense. There's a very, very good book by Shivaram Swami. It's called Krishna Sangati. If you can read that, it's all based on this. its subject matter is the pastimes of separation from Krishna. So I'm studying that at the moment while studying this section. So if you can get the book, then that will help you a lot. Also, Gorgovindaswamy, there's books. I think it's called The Embankment of Separation, Gorgovindaswamy. That's a very powerful book also. And Mathura Meets Vrindavan, different books. Gorgovindaswamy has some very powerful books about these subject matters.
Krishna never lives in the original form. So he lives in the body. So in this case, is it still the original form?
Yeah, you'll see when he goes later in this chapter, you'll see what happens. The original form stays back and the other form goes out.
See, the gopis are the greatest devotees, and the devotees are called three lakya or something. You know, they know all the three kalakya.
Oh, yeah.
So when the Lord Krishna was going, so they must be had some idea about the past, and future and present.
No, not like that. Trigalagya is something sages have, not something the gopis experience. Okay. Having shown us Mukunda's face, framed by dark locks and beautified by his fine cheeks, raised nose and gentle smile, which eradicate all misery, you are now making that face invisible. This behavior of yours is not at all good. So they're chastising the creator. So you could say that's Lord Brahma, or you could say it's God himself. This is the gopi's position. Just like I was reading the other day back in chapter 29, when they're feeling separation from him, from Krishna, then they see him as being God. And even they speak to him, they say, okay, we know you're God, we know you're Narayan, but you should not act like this. So this is the gopi's exalted position. Even though they'll speak to the creator or to Brahma or the most elevated people, because the gopis are the most elevated devotees. So even though they may see themselves as cowherd girls, but actually they're the most exalted. And their love is so strong, they'll even speak strongly to Krishna himself, or to Lord Narayan, or to Lord Brahma. They say to Lord Brahma, what sort of a foolish creator are you? Right? If you had 1 ounce of a brain, then you would have made eyes that did not have eyelids. So you can't speak like that to Lord Brahma. If Lord Brahma walked in here now, we'd all be like, or Prabhupada walked in, all this would be, or Jayapataka Swami or someone comes, everyone's like, you can't just speak like that. The gopis are so exalted, they'll just speak directly. So, they say that Krishna's name is Mukunda. What does Mukunda mean?
Liberation.
One who gives liberation. So liberation from what? Yeah, very good. From birth and death, from misery. So when you see Krishna, you become free from? Free from suffering. When our mind is on Krishna, you cannot be unhappy. Prabhupada said, just make it an experiment or a test. If you're thinking of Krishna, you can't be unhappy. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniyaha Sada Hari. Because Kirtan and Shravanam, hearing like we're doing now, Kirtan, what that we do when we chant, Kirtan or Japa or any type of Sankirtan, when we chant and hear about Krishna, the result is Smaranam, remembrance. And when you remember Krishna, which is the goal, always remember him, never forget him. When you remember Krishna, you cannot be unhappy. Prabhupada said, make an experiment. See for yourself. So when you're Krishna conscious, you cannot be unhappy. So the gopis say, Krishna takes, he's Mukunda, because he takes away all our misery, all our suffering. So when they're with Krishna, just like when we are with Krishna in our consciousness, we feel completely happy and satisfied. So they say being with him gives the greatest happiness, and separation from him gives the greatest misery. So they're feeling like that. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us that that misery or that suffering of separation from him is actually more blissful than even being with him, what they feel at that time. So I've been studying that in the last few weeks because we're going through this section. So Shivaram's finest book speaks all about this. So we should understand this philosophical point. The goal is not separation. Devotees don't pray, Krishna, let me stay separated from you. It's more blissful. The gopis never pray like that. Right? The devotees always pray, Krishna, when can I be with you? We want to see you. We want to be with you. That's why the gopis are looking for him in the forest. The gopis don't think, oh, he's gone now, this is more blissful. So let us just wander and wander and wander. No, they're looking for him. But while they're in that state of separation, that divine madness, unmada, they feel more bliss than they can when they're with him. That's why Krishna separates them. So when they do unite, then the union is indescribably ecstatic. So that is the union that they receive, or the bliss they receive when they unite with Krishna once again. So that is the potency. So here it is being said that when he's away, right, it's unlimited suffering, but when we're with him, right, it relieves all of our distress. Any points?
From a conditioned consciousness, it's very hard to understand how separation is the highest bliss. We understand the reason for separation, it's for achieving some goals that Krishna separated. We do understand after separation, the union is more blissful. But, you know, the distress which the gopis are feeling, it's very hard to see that that was actually more blissful than the union, the feelings that they have when they are with Krishna. It's very hard to absorb that bhava of the Krishna.
So you have to meditate on it. You have to meditate on it very deeply. That's why. Why don't you take your plastic bag outside and get rid of it and then come back in? I don't want plastic in here. So sometimes devotees, we have to go to secluded private places. It's very important in our bhajan. Just like you'll see all the acharyas at the end of their life, quite often they'll enter into what is called nirjan bhajan. Nirjan bhajan means you go into a solitary state of bhajan. So it's very important that devotees that we do this. We go into solitary bhajan regularly. Actually, when the last time I ever saw my guru and I was chanting japa with him, it was just him and I. And thank you. So we're chanting japa together, and he actually told me, he said actually japa is meant to be chanted alone. Yeah. So for neophyte devotees, better you chant in the temple room with 300 other devotees, you know, because your mind is not so advanced that you can control your mind, so better you be with the other devotees. But when you become a little advanced and you can control your mind, actually these things are meant to be done alone. So we're meant to go periodically. Just like today, I had the opportunity, I was by myself. My wife had to go to Melbourne. So, yeah, I won't say that to her, but actually I like it. Not that I don't like her, right? But I knew that today, because I'm studying Varaha Gita, it's very deep. And just to be by myself You know, there's no one around. And I had a couple of hours today where there's no one around. I could just deeply go into the subject matter. And that's when you can get some, by Krishna's mercy, if you meditate very deeply, you can get some appreciation or realization of these things. So if you don't understand it properly, then you need to go into that deep state. So you have to make time as devotees. We just go into a very, very deep state of consciousness and contemplate these things. Then Krishna will give you some realizations. It's hard to understand these things because they're so exalted, but we can if we go into it. So regularly we have to do that. Especially I like to do it when I go to the Holy Dham, go to Mayapur, Vrindavan. I just go to quiet places where there's no one else. I mean, as much as you can, which is difficult. But just go to quiet places. You know, sometimes you have to get your earplugs, just put them in, and you just chant the holy name. Right? And then you just enter very deeply. And then Krishna will manifest things in your consciousness at that time. So, any points? O Providence, though you come here with the name Akrura, you are indeed cruel. For like a fool, you are taking away what you once gave us, those eyes which we have seen. Even in one feature of Lord Madhudwisha's form, the perfection of your entire creation.
The gopis did not have to see anything but Krishna. Therefore, if Krishna left Vrindavana, their eyes would not have no function. Thus Krishna's departure was blinding these poor girls, and in their distress, they berated Akrura, whose name means not cruel, as cruel indeed.
So the nature of the material world is that it is cruel. Has anyone had this experience? That's why we joined the Hare Krishna movement. In all seriousness. Yeah, that's why I joined, because I was 19 when I joined the Hare Krishna movement. Because by 19 I'd worked out this world is cruel. It's just full of suffering. You know, you get some pleasure in this material world, but compared to the suffering which I've experienced by the time I was 19, you know, I walked into this temple, and you know, when I walked in, Prabhupada said it's like Vaikuntha in here, and that's what I felt like. It's Vaikuntha. I walked in here, and the first thing I thought when I walked in, I don't want to leave this place. Because there's just suffering out there. And I felt, as soon as I walked in, I felt relief. And you know who the first devotee I saw was? Jagannath Balabhapur. Still there. He's 70 years old. Everyone knows who I'm talking about? Right? He is the hermit. He lives down the back there in the ashram. He's been living there since before I was a devotee. Right? First devotee I saw. And then when I was just seeing him, I thought, I just want to be just like him. Because I could see, the devotees are different. They have a transcendental energy about them. Yeah, he does more service than all these guys, all these brahmachari guys. Right? 71. He does more service than six brahmacharis put together. Like, the guy is incredible. Yeah, divine power. He's a yogi, actually. He's a yogi. Yeah, he did yoga when he was young. He's very, very, very strong. Sometimes he tells me, he said, all these boys are weak. So, the material world is a cruel place. And the cruelty which you experience in the material world, it makes you go to Krishna. But then, when you come into Krishna's association, like we're reading here with the gopis, they go through apparently cruel situations also. Apparently. Krishna is about to leave, which is very cruel, you could say, in one sense. Why would he leave them? Right? And Akura is very cruel because he's taking Krishna away from them. The gopis, what they're experiencing, that separation gives the greatest bliss. The greatest of all bliss. Nothing is higher. Are you actually for real? Who knocks on a door like that? Right? Especially, you know it's me and you know it's 8:30. You better sit down and start taking some good notes, I tell you. Get your book and start thinking. She's been taking amazing notes, like the last couple of weeks. She comes and shows me after class, the notes are amazing. What she's comprehending is quite exceptional. But after that knock on the door, your notes better be good. Good to see you, Brenda. They try and come on time, huh? And try to make a less dramatic entrance. You remind me of the left-wing gopis. You going to write that down? That one? She can sit wherever she wants, don't worry. She's good. You just sit wherever you want. So, it is the most blissful experience which they're going through. What the gopis are experiencing, it is the greatest bliss. Whereas in the material world, the suffering we go through, that's what you get at the end of it. At the end, all you're holding is suffering, right? And the suffering, that is Krishna's mercy, because it makes us come to Krishna. But for the gopis, when they're suffering, they experience the highest bliss. And that bliss brings them to Krishna. So therefore it is the most intense thing. So there is no suffering, I mean material suffering, in Krishna's pastimes. Even when it appears to be suffering, it is not suffering, it is bliss. Right? Once again, these things are very hard to understand. That's why it's called esoteric. Something which is esoteric literally means very deep or very hard to understand or unattainable, not easily attainable, esoteric. So these things are not easy to understand. Any points?
Is the word bliss is the right word to use?
Yeah.
Is there any other word?
Ananda.
It says in the text.
Go.
It says in the text that they call him fool like a fool. You are taking away what you once gave us. So they're saying to Providence, who has come in the form of a Akura, they're calling him a fool, like a fool. Why?
Because they're angry.
Because they, like a fool, Providence is killing them, committing murder, something like this.
This Lord Madhvisha poem, any particular significance of this in this Madhvisha poem?
Killer of the enemy of the demon Madhu. Feature Lord Madhvisha's form affectionate. I didn't read anything. No, I didn't read anything. Maybe there would be, because they wouldn't just choose the name. I'm not sure why.
Prabhupada liked that name. He lived in Madhvisha.
You know, Prabhupada, I was just thinking that they were in the highest level of love for Krishna in separation rather than bliss. They were developing intense love for Krishna in that time rather than bliss, because they
were really, really
upset.
No, it's bliss. Yeah. Prema and bliss are non-different. When you have love for Krishna, you have bliss. Alas, Nanda's son, who breaks loving friendships in a second, will not even look directly at us. Forcibly brought under his control, we abandoned our homes, relatives, children, and husbands just to serve him. But he is always looking for new lovers.
You know.
So the most important thing to understand at this point is Krishna is exactly the opposite of this. He's not like that. Right? Krishna is not that kind of person. He would never cause the devotees or the gopis harm. Actually, his heart is breaking at this point. Right? His heart is breaking to leave them. Right? So it appears that he's just going off, but it's not like that. He's not feeling like that. He's feeling the most intense separation from them. Right? So we must understand Krishna. Right? For what he's going through is as intense as what the gopis are going through. But he has to leave Vrindavan because he has pastimes to perform. And the confidential reason why he's leaving is because he's thinking their separation from him, as I explained a few weeks back or a month ago or something, you know, the pastime with the bumblebee? Does everyone remember? You remember? I told the pastime? You remember? So that pastime, that's why Krishna's leaving. He's thinking, he's actually concerned about Radharani. And he's actually concerned about the gopis because he's thinking that if they become any more intense, even when they're with me, they're becoming. He said, you know, maybe something will happen to them. Maybe they will leave their body, or I don't know. So he's feeling like, to protect them, I'll leave. That will be intense, but that will be less intense than if I stay. So that's why he's feeling like that. So he has to leave because he's feeling intense separation. So we should understand Krishna's heart. Krishna is not cruel. Krishna is exactly the opposite. Right? He's the softest person. And he's only doing this out of love. Everything he does is simply out of love for his devotees. So if he's leaving, it's not to cause them harm. It's because he cares about them. He wants to protect them. So that's his motivation. Everyone misunderstands Krishna. That's the problem. Everyone misunderstands him. That's why we have to study the Bhagavatam. And that's why we have to study the commentaries of the Acharyas. Prabhupada said the commentaries are more important than the verses. That's why we have to understand. We have to study what Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says. It's like they open Krishna's heart and they show us what is in his heart. We have to understand Krishna's personality because he's not like that. He's the most softest, kindest person. But he's only doing all of this just out of some leela and some appreciation. Any points?
That's why it's called loving kindness.
Yeah.
When I was thinking that due to the welfare of the gopis that he's leaving as a confidential now, but actually the fact is it increases their intensity of love, right, due to the separation. So that is that also a bliss that you would like to experience as Swarnakilasamitamurti?
No, he's just, yeah, when he's with, like I said, he's at Prema Sarova, Radharani is sitting on his lap and she's going through the same intensity. So he knows what's going to happen. Krishna, I mean, he's more intelligent than
any of us.
All of us, everyone put together, he's more intelligent than all of us. So he knows what's going to happen. But he's thinking in his mind, that's less intense than when I stay, because they're going mad when I'm here. So maybe it's better I go.
Krishna is fulfilling the ideal he has, but the welfare of his devotees as his priority, topmost priority. But when what the gopis are saying over here, and we see in the future also, the gopis always remain chaste, but Krishna does go and marry 16,000 non-incarnate wives. But like even there is described, he is still always remembering the gopis and all. How do we understand that? He left them and actually married 16,000 non-incarnate wives.
All those things are hard to understand, but as we study this section and the next 10 chapters, 15 chapters, a lot of these things will come out. Even in about 6 or 7 verses, part of the answer is given. Part of the answer. So you'll understand it as we go through one of these things.
Isn't it that when the gopis went to Rasa's house, their actual material body was there in the house?
Yeah, so one answer is that he doesn't leave. That's one answer. One answer is he doesn't leave. That's one answer. But there's many, many layers to the whole.
And the queens are also extension of the gopis as well.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Alas, Nanda's son, who breaks loving friendships in a second, will not even look directly at us. Forcibly brought under his control, we abandon our homes, relatives, children, and husbands just to serve him. But he is always looking for new lovers.
That is done.
Did I read that?
That's done.
Thank you for telling me. You usually tell me when I do something. That means you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. Usually you're very submissive and very. It means you're advancing. That's good. The dawn following this night will certainly be auspicious for the women of Mathura. All their hopes will now be fulfilled. For as the Lord of Braj enters their city, they will be able to drink from his face the nectar of the smile emanating from the corners of his eyes. So the definition of the name Krishna is?
All attractive.
So if he's in Vrindavan, everyone is attracted to him. Everyone is attracted to Krishna. And when he goes to Mathura, everyone is attracted to him. Krishna is so beautiful that even men, when they see him, they wish they were women. Can you imagine what that would feel like? Yeah, I mean, if you meditate on it a little bit, you'll get some realization. Right? Even men, when they see Krishna, he's so beautiful, they think, I wish I was a woman. I can't enjoy him. What's the use of being a man? That's how they feel. That's how beautiful Krishna is. So his qualities, when he goes to Mathura, he just captures everyone. Right? When he's in Vrindavan, he captures everyone. Right? So it doesn't matter where he goes, he's all attractive. That's why his name is Krishna. Right? It says, 1,000 names of Lord Narayan, Vishnu, equals one name of? Lord Ram, right? And three names of Lord Ram, which means 3,000 names of Vishnu, equals the name Krishna. So it is the original, just like the original form of God is the cowherd boy, the bluish Shyamasundara cowherd boy, the original name is Krishna, because it means one who attracts everyone. Yeah, they all took birth as gopis.
Yeah. So
they got attracted. Oh, gopis, although our Mukunda is intelligent and very obedient to his parents, once he has fallen under the spell of the honey-sweet words of the women of Mathura, and being enchanted by their alluring, shy smiles, how will he ever return to us, unsophisticated village girls? So the gopis, this is their sentiment. Because they love him so much, they cannot bear to think that he will go to someone else, because they know that no one can please him more than them. And Radharani, she understands. That's why she displays the mood of Man. Man means jealous, anger. When Krishna is with Chandravali, Radharani becomes very upset. Not because it's nothing to do with her, and this is very difficult to understand. It's not to do with her. It's because she understands Krishna will be happier with her, because she is the most qualified. She knows she's the most beautiful, she has the best attributes, she knows that. Right? And because she's free from ego, she just thinks, I just wish he was with me, because I can make him the happiest. That's why she gets all upset. It's not because of her, because she's thinking, why isn't he with me? Selfishly, she's thinking, why isn't he with me? Because I will please him more. So now they're going to Mathura, right? And they're thinking, why are they going to be with those girls in Mathura? And actually, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which this is part of the answer that you asked Jamula Lila, so part of the reason, is that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Krishna is having a conversation with Satyabhama. Satyabhama is one of his principal queens in Dwarka. And he actually says to her in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he said, you foolish girl. He said, the only reason I married you and all of these co-wives, all your queens, because you remind me of the gopis. It's the only reason I married you, because you look a little bit like Radharani. So even though he goes to Mathura, the whole time, wherever he is, he just thinks of the gopis. That's all he thinks about. Doesn't matter where he goes, what he does. There's a very beautiful description Shivaram Swami writes about. The first night he camps in Mathura, the night which will be tonight, because he's leaving now, and then he goes, he gets there at the end of the day and he camps, and then next day he goes in, and that's when he kills Kamsa and everything. That night when he's laying there and he's crying and he's crying and he's crying. He lays in the back of a bullock cart camping with Lord Balaram and he just cries. And the whole night he just weeps and he just keeps remembering the gopis. And he thinks, how cruel am I that I have put them through this, I've left. But simultaneously, I will go back to them soon. So he goes through all of these mixed emotions. What's that?
Whatever the gopis are feeling, because they are angry as well with Krishna. That anger is also pleasing Krishna. Because for example, if someone is getting, one time, I.
I'm sorry, I've cut the wrong route now. Shall I go to Iran?
Who is it?
Sorry?
I would like to see somebody here.
No.
Your high priest. I have a family relative.
I'll just speak.
Not to John Becky. Don't we? Yeah, family's your high priest. Yeah, that's fine. Look, I'm trying to see. You've got all kinds of things going on. What would you like to say? I'd like to sit here.
Just look. Whatever they want to say.
Thank you very much.
So, what was your point?
Yeah, so one time on the airport, Vrinda and Prabhu had to visa, and I did not have my visa got expired. So at that time, Vrinda was crying at that time because she was getting separate from me, and I could feel that she loves me a lot. So that also, that separation also made me realize that how much she has love for me. So
this kind of separation also
increases make, the love.
Yeah, increases the love and make you know feel better for Krishna also. He thinks that Gopi's love is very intense, and he also feels that type of pleasure.
Yeah, that's what takes place in the Gopi Gita, chapter 31. That's why he separates himself from the gopis, just so that they will express that love, and that gives him pleasure. Yeah, that's part of the understanding. When the Dasharas, Bhojas, Andikas, Vrishnis, and Satwatas see the son of Devaki in Mathura, they will certainly enjoy a great festival for their eyes, as will all those who see him traveling along the road to the city. After all, he is the darling of the goddess of fortune and the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. So it says that Krishna is a festival for the eyes. So just seeing him, it's like that. Just like you'll see very soon, about a month away from now, it'll be Janmashtami, almost a month exactly, actually. So you'll see when the curtains open at Mangalati, right? It's like a festival for the eyes. The devotees, that even us, we're just sadhikas, but for us, it's like there's anticipation to see Krishna. So it gives some feeling of what it's like in the spiritual world. Actually, Mangalati should be like that every day. Yeah, once a year, you know, you can't get in, but it should be like that every day. For the rest of the year, everyone just sleeps in. But actually, the actual system is we should have that kind of anticipation to see Krishna. So that is seen. Because he is like a moving festival. So wherever he moves, everyone just becomes completely captivated. You see when he enters into Mathura, which we'll read soon, it's very powerful. Everyone becomes captivated when he wanders through Vrindavan. He just completely captivates all the living entities. So he's just like a walking festival, a great Mahotsava for the eyes. He who is doing this merciless deed should not be called a Krura. He is so extremely cruel that without even trying to console the sorrowful residents of Braj, he is taking away Krishna, who is more dear to us than life itself. So we're hearing about the level of love called Mahabhav. Mahabhav means the highest level of love for Krishna. So they have so much love for Krishna. So they're thinking that the intensity of their separation is it's of the highest level, the most exalted level of consciousness. So they're feeling complete. So they're saying Akrura, he is not Akrura. The name means not cruel, free from cruelty. He is the most cruel personality. Hard-hearted Krishna has already mounted the chariot, and now the foolish cowherds are hurrying after him in their bullock carts. Even the elders are saying nothing to stop him. Today fate is working against us. So, to understand all of this, you need to study carefully Mahaprabhu's Shikshastika. The entire philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam is in the Shikshastika. Because in the final verses 6, 7 and 8, we hear about these levels of consciousness. Yugyayatam nimishena chakshusha pravishayatam shunyayatam jagatsavam govinda virahim. So just being away from him for a moment is like a eternity. Yuga. Yugyayatam nimishena, separation from you feels like a yuga. And in the last verse, Aslisha Ba Paravritam Pinashtava, it says, Na Prananata, Prananat. So the gopis, they say, Krishna is the Lord of our life. Prananat. Prananata. So Lord Chaitanya says, He is the Lord of life. They feel like they are losing their very life. If He goes away, everything becomes void. Shunyayatam. Shunya means void. The whole unit, Jagatsavam. The whole universe feels empty without Krishna's association. So by studying Shikshastika, you'll understand these sentiments and emotions. Lord Chaitanya Shikshastika pulls out all of this in those 8 verses. Are we on 28 or? Let us directly approach Madhava and stop him from going. What can our family elders and other relatives do to us? Now that fate is separating us from Mukunda, our hearts are already wretched, for we cannot bear to give up his association even for a fraction of a second.
Describes what the gopis thought. Let us go right up to Krishna and pull at his clothes and hands and insist that he get down from his chariot and stay here with us. We will tell him, don't bring upon yourself the sinful reaction for murdering so many people. But if we do that, say the other gopis, our relatives and the village elders will discover our secret love for Krishna and abandon us. But what can they do to us? Yes, our lives are already wretched now that Krishna is living. We have nothing to lose. That's right. We will remain in Vrindavan forest just like residing goddesses. And then we can fulfill our true desire to stay with Krishna in the forest. Yes, and even if the elders and our relatives punish us by beating us or locking us up, we will still live happily with the knowledge that Krishna is residing in our village. Some of our girlfriends who are not in prison will cleverly find a way to bring us the remnants of Krishna's food, and then we can remain alive. But if Krishna is not stopped, we will certainly die.
It's a very beautiful commentary by Vishnu Chakravartakal. So he explains to us how the gopis are feeling. So we get a glimpse into the heart of the gopis, we get a glimpse into the heart of Krishna. So we understand God's heart, we understand His most exalted devotee's consciousness. So, Akrura, they say, you are cruel. You're supposed to be uncruel, but you're cruel. Actually, Akrura committed, some of the acharyas say, he committed an offense to the gopis. Because as he was leaving, he did not console them. And you'll see later on in this canto, in the 10th canto, he gets separated from Krishna when the pastime of the Shaman Taka duel takes place. So they almost, you know, they're very upset with him. You know, you have to be very careful about upsetting advanced devotees. Akrura was, the acharyas say, he was disrespectful to the gopis. So because of his disrespect, maybe it wasn't intended, but he upset them. And later on, he had to also be separated from Krishna. So in this verse, we see that they're willing to sacrifice anything for Krishna. What is the price to receive Krishna's association?
Yes.
Yeah, you have to be willing to sacrifice anything. We're not willing to do that yet. We're attached to so many conditions in our devotion. Therefore, we cannot attain Krishna directly. The gopis, there is no condition upon their service. They're willing to do anything to attain it. What they're doing now is in front of their elders and everyone, they're going to his chariot and they're grabbing the chariot, they're holding the chariot and they're grabbing his cloth and they're saying, don't leave. So they're willing, it means, openly they're showing everyone. They're not married to him. It's very inappropriate. So they're not showing. They're showing everyone their consciousness, their love for him. So this is the most exalted level of sacrifice they're willing to make for Krishna. And it's making them bold because their ecstasy is so strong, because their love for him is so strong. Normally they would not act in this way. They always hide it very carefully. If you go back to the Venu Gita, right, it says that they're all hiding in huddles around Vrindavan, speaking very softly about Krishna. But in the Varaha Gita, even in front of their elders, they'll say all of these things. They show their attachment. So in one sense, this is the most exalted part of the Bhagavatam. And there's another chapter, which I think may be 48, 49, called Brahma Gita, which Srimati Radharani speaks to the bumblebee. So these are the highest levels of prema. When he brought us to the assembly of the Rasa dance, where we enjoyed his affectionate and charming smiles, his delightful secret talks, his playful glances and his embraces, we passed many nights as if they were a single moment. O gopis, how can we possibly cross over the insurmountable darkness of his absence? How can we exist without Ananta's friend Krishna, who in the evening would return to Braj in the company of the cowherd boys, his hair and garland powdered with the dust raised by the cow's hooves? As he played his flute, he would captivate our minds with his smiling, sidelong glances. Shukadev Goswami said, after speaking these words, the ladies of Braj, who were so attached to Krishna, felt extremely agitated by the imminent separation from him. They forgot all shame and loudly cried, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. But even as the gopis cried out in this way, Akrura, having at sunrise performed his morning worship and other duties, began to drive the chariot. So unfortunately, he is disrespecting the gopis at this point in time. And because of disrespect to very advanced devotees, even if it's unintentional, right, it will cause great problems in our spiritual life. So in the future, he gets separated from Krishna. Even though he may not have intended to offend them, but he also gets the same result.
This reminds us a little bit of in India, when a girl gets married and she leaves her father's woman post, this is the way the father cries. When the girl cries about she's leaving her parents, and at least she has that happiness of being united with her husband.
Led by Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men followed behind Lord Krishna in their wagons. The men brought along many offerings for the king, including clay pots filled with ghee and other milk products. With his glance, Lord Krishna somewhat pacified the gopis, and they also followed behind for some time. Then, hoping he would give them some instruction, they stood still. So he pacified them. With his glance, as they were leaving, he looked back and he gave them a glance that said, I will be back soon, don't worry. I'll be back soon. Right? And then they stood there and they just looked at him and they were a little pacified. And they thought, then say something to pacify us. But for whatever reason, he could not speak at that time. So then he left, and then they thought in their minds, okay, he will return. And actually, he had every intention to return, but his life went in a different direction. And in another sense, he never left. So there's so many multiple layers in all of these pastimes. Srila Prabhupada ki. So tomorrow night we will continue.